As every Friday, though, it's time for Do I Have a Case with attorney Keith Figured. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show this week.
How you doing, Rob? Pleasure to be here.
Good. Great weather up by you, I'm sure. Hopefully not too much rain this weekend.
Nah, actually got a little drizzle now. I'm hoping it clears up. I'm going to try to, stocking Francis Slocum tomorrow. So maybe do a little trout fishing.
There you go. Great weekend of that. All right, so right into the first question here, and I'm going to add a caveat to it as well, but something that I saw recently with a municipal meeting. What remedy, if any, would I have from a city or the state for damages caused to my car by a pothole on one of their roads? If someone does have a remedy, what's the best way to proceed? Now, I was watching, it was the City of Scranton council meeting, and they have a hotline to report potholes. But the city council didn't seem to know what happened with the information that was given to that hotline. So I'm sure you'll bring it there ever, but usually an email or something on paper would be best, not to just leave a message on one of the hotlines, because they admitted themselves they don't know what happens to it if it's documented as such, and you're going to need that if you're looking to pursue. Am I wrong there?
No, you're correct, and I'll get into that when we get into a little bit of the analysis. But one of the things that's required to pursue, well, it's difficult to pursue property damages, but if there's an injury, is that a lot of times these municipalities have to have written notice of the pothole and a time or a reasonable time to fix it. There's other elements, which, again, I said I'll get into, but you are correct. I mean, anytime I specifically have my clients communicate either with their employer or whomever, where I may not be able to communicate, I always advise them to communicate in writing. That's the best way.
All right. So how do you pursue something like this? Yeah.
All right. So in terms of this specific question for the remedy, so the first issue that you have, particularly with state roads, which are managed by PennDOT, you have what's called sovereign immunity. So under Pennsylvania law, the Commonwealth is generally immune from liability for, and this is the key word, property damage caused by potholes, sinkholes, or other conditions created by natural elements. That means that basically the claims for vehicle damages on state roads, whether it be highways or roads maintained by the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, are almost always denied unless exceptional circumstances apply. Now, the only exceptions that I could see, particularly for state roads, is for bodily injury. The law allows a claim for personal injuries caused by a pothole, but only if a certain number of elements are met. First, a pothole created a reasonably foreseeable risk of injury. So that could basically be based on the size of the pothole or the depth of it. The Commonwealth had, this is the second prong, is that the Commonwealth had actual written notice of the pothole, a prior report to PennDOT, and a reasonable amount of time to fix it, but failed to do so. And then lastly, even though bodily injury is recoverable, property damage is explicitly excluded from that exception. So car damage claims are not recovered. Now, city roads are a little bit different because in municipalities like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they may be liable for vehicle damage caused by potholes on city-maintained streets, not state roads, under certain conditions, and they fall under what's called the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act. And now under there, to succeed, similar requirements, the pothole was on a city street. The city had actual notice, a prior report of the pothole or constructive notice. The pothole was so obvious and existed for so long that the city should have known about it, would amount to constructive notice. Now, and then finally, the city failed to repair the pothole within a reasonable time. Now, even in this circumstance, there's still limits on recovery. So even if liability is established, the city often only pays out the amount of your car insurance deductible or the fair market value of the damage if it's less than the deductible. It seems that they may pay the lower of two repair estimates if there is no collision coverage on the vehicle. So now in terms of, just to cover a couple things, if you have a claim, I mean, the best thing, and this gets into some of those numbers and that you were mentioning as well, because there are also numbers for the state, but potential remedies, you can file a claim with the state. I believe they have a it's called the Bureau of Finance and Risk Management. And I don't know if that's completely applicable, but I did see reference to that. You can file a claim with the city roads, as indicated. If there is a hotline, if you do call the hotline, maybe you want to get an email so you, or an email address so you can follow up with a correspondence to confirm your conversation or whoever you spoke with. Also, then you're putting them on notice of that pothole. It may not help you, but it could help somebody else that subsequently gets injured if that written notice is on file. But, I mean, the most practical remedy is to often go through your own collision coverage. That's going to be primarily where something like this is covered. I mean, there's a couple other things as far as, like I said, some other I was trying to see, there was a hotline. I think it was 1-800-FIX-ROAD, something like that, that if you do, that's another hotline for the state that you can contact to report potholes. But the bottom line is, and then you also want to take evidence of the pothole, pictures or damage, and make sure you have, you don't want to get the car fixed on your own, because again, you want to have that estimate if you are going to try to pursue it. But bottom line is, my reading of this is, it's very difficult to recover property damage, and even if you can, it's limited. So the best course of action is to pursue it under your collision coverage, which hopefully you have. And then it looks like the only potential remedy is if you do have the coverage, if there's a specific in the city providing for a recovery. But again, that's going to be limited to probably the deductible.
All right. Next question. What is the benefit to having an attorney to apply for Social Security disability benefits? What is the customary compensation for such representation?
All right. So for purposes of Social Security, the first thing that I tell a lot of clients that call me for purposes of Social Security, if they're initially applying, is that, to be upfront with them, they don't really need me at that juncture. Now, sometimes they might be in a state where they just absolutely need help. But the reason for that is the initial application for Social Security is merely filling out an application and submitting that through the Social Security government website. And they're going to be signing authorizations and a number of documents to allow them to get their records. The state or the Social Security Administration will get each of the records. And the reason I say they don't need an attorney at that point is because there's no hearing. There's really only the filling out of the application, and then the Social Security judge, the administrative law judge, is going to make a determination. If they make a favorable determination at that point, again, with no hearings and not much really to be done other than to help them fill out the application, I don't really, at least for me, I don't think, you know, it's necessary to get involved and take a fee. I usually tell them to go through the process, fill everything out initially, and then if there's usually a reconsideration step. Sometimes they may reach out, want to give counsel for that. Again, that's just a matter of reapplying and asking them to take a second reconsideration, maybe supplying additional records, but you really don't get to a hearing where an attorney is going to attend and actually conduct a hearing and possibly submit a brief until you get to the appeal process. So a lot of times I'll advise a client to go through that process initially. However, if they receive a denial letter, that's when they would want to reach out to me. Now, in the limited circumstances where maybe there's, and again, if there's severe disability, it may be even easier to get it, but sometimes people are just adamant at wanting help at that phase. So, I mean, the limited help in terms of the application would be merely just the accuracy of submitting the application and making sure you put as much in there that the judge is going to look at to possibly help in making the determination and be successful. But the problem is if they are successful, then there is going to be a fee, and this goes to the last part of the question, which is the amount of the fee. Now, it's different than workers' comp, whereas workers' comp is a 20% or a contingent fee that's ongoing for the duration of the benefits once attached. For Social Security, it's a set amount. So when you actually apply for purposes of Social Security, it goes based on the back pay. So it would be either 25% of the back pay, or, and I believe, I haven't looked at this and it changes, but the last time I looked at it, the fee is capped at $7,200. So basically, it would be either that 25% of the back pay up to $7,200. If there was any other pay past that point, then that would be the total amount of the fee.
All right, Keith, we're going to leave it there. We'll leave the last question for next week because we ran a little long here. If people want to get in touch with you about a question they may not want public, how do they do that?
They can reach out to me directly via my phone. It is my direct dial, so it comes right to me at 570-954-9299. They can contact me through my website. There's a spot on there to submit an inquiry 24/7 at figuredlaw.com, and they could send an inquiry to my email at keith@figuredlaw.com.
And again, if you want a question featured on a segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com, and we'll make sure we get one of those questions to Keith in a future segment. Keith, you have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us this week.
You as well, Rob. As I say, always a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners. I hope everybody has a nice weekend.
Thank you, Keith. You too.